Welcome to another episode of A Minute Till Six podcast. You know me, I'm Mark Haynes, your host, MH the Champ, along with my co-host,
Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR, baby.
And today we have a very, very special guest. We back to back with it with the females on the show.
Yes, sir. To my girl.
My lady, Miss Lauren Jones. She also goes by Lojo from Lojo Media. Hold on, we got to get this right. You got to help me with this. Lojo Media.
Yeah.
It got uninterrupted.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the Sentinel?
Yeah, Sentinel.
And we missing anything? We got a little bit of everything, man. So
Lakers
cover. Yeah, cover the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So you know, my girl right here, she be working.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on with you guys. I'm excited. I've been watching what you guys have been doing. It's been really dope.
Thank you.
Love the hoodie.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So thank you for having me on.
No. Thank you for coming on. I would say short notice.
Yeah, bless you.
He scheduled this out. My bad.
My time is off. But so we gonna start with you and we gonna interview you. We gonna talk. We want to know who you are.
Let the people know who Lojo is.
Man. Yeah.
How did we get here? How did we get to the Sentinel? The uninterrupted.
Okay, how did we get here? Yeah. So I started covering basketball through the Drew League in 2012, and I just saw that they didn't have a reporter covering them, you know, full time, and I was like, this is a league that has, at the time, had 40 years worth of history, and I was just like, there's a void here. So I got to be the first writer for the DrewLeague.com, kind of built out what that site looked like. With the help of Nike and Nate Jones.
Shout out to Nate.
And then from there, I just realized, like, my passion really is in reporting. And initially, I thought I wanted to go more into, like, the sports business side, maybe be a, like, player personnel scout. And then I read a book, and I was like, I want to have a family and be realistic about things. So I went into reporting, and that was basically what I was studying in college at USC. And then I started freelancing because I couldn't find a job out of college. And the Sentinel was the only place to really give me that first opportunity. I was covering like the Clippers and the Lakers a little bit and the Rams and the Chargers.
And is this all in 2012?
No, this is post-2012.
Okay, so.
After I graduated from college in 2014. I started covering some of the teams and then I got this opportunity to work at Fox Sports, and that was like my first job, real official job out of college. Went on to ESPN as a producer, and then once I left ESPN, I was like, I'm missing reporting.
Right.
So I ended up covering the Clippers that full season once I left ESPN. And then most recently, I got an opportunity to work at Uninterrupted as a podcast producer, project manager. It's going to be a year in 2 weeks.
Congrats.
Started off as a 2 week gig, just filling in, and have kind of been there ever since.
So certified, like happy certified buckets with Nick Young.
Yeah.
Happy uninterruptiversary.
Oh, well, thank you. Like, I might use that as the hashtag.
Uninterruptiversary. Got it.
Yeah, that's why I'm either making up words or butchering up words. That's what I do.
Names. He butchered names.
Oh, yeah, names. Yeah, there you go. I got the words, but the names.
Sometimes. We'll help you out.
That's his job. That's his job. Get to crack me and make fun of me sometimes as well. So, you started off, like I said, you started off covering the Clippers and the Lakers around, you said, 2014.
Yeah.
And
I got to dibble and dabble a little bit, go to a couple games here and there, just get my foot in the door. And then it wasn't until about 3 years ago, what is that, 2017, that I started, like, covering the Clippers full-time. And then when our beat writer at the time would need to fill in for the Lakers, I got my first, like, opportunity to get my foot in the door there. And then when LeBron came, I went to my editors and I was like,
I gotta
get over there
for your job.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
If you guys want the content, like, I'm the person. And they were like, we agree. So.
Right.
Yeah. So you've created your opportunities a lot, I've noticed.
Yes. That's the name of the game for me.
I mean, that's definitely the name of the game. For anybody that wants to be successful, I just want to put that out there. One of my models I go by, create your opportunity.
Yes.
So I'm glad to hear that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also I love how it's another African-American woman that left ESPN.
Melanin popping.
Yeah, that's doing great. You know, yeah.
That was probably the biggest blessing, honestly. I was just talking to someone the other day, like, you know, it was a great time while I was there, and I thought that was my dream job. So when I got there, I was so excited, and I was working on a bilingual show, which I was the only black woman in the newsroom, you know, at the time. And so it was awesome. And when I was working in LA, like, everybody has to go to Bristol. So it was like a dream. But, you know, ultimately, I just realized, like you said, like, bet on yourself, believe in yourself.
Bet on it.
You know, and I was like, I'm not getting any younger, so why not pursue my dreams? Like, if I can put 40 hours a week or 40 hours plus into somebody else's dream vision, then why wouldn't I do that for myself?
It's so facts.
You know? So you saw yourself in Jamel Hills and the Kari Champions now.
Absolutely. Those are the people I looked at religiously growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had a really good piece of advice when I was in college. Another fellow journalist told me, like, look at each of the people that you admire and ask yourself why. Like, why do you admire them? What is it about them? And then once you break down the why, then you kind of create your own version of these people in yourself, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, by staying true to yourself, obviously, and being authentic, but, like, Kari Champion was the first person I was like, she's it. She was amazing, the way she carried herself, you know, that she was from L.A., like, she went to UCLA, I mean, I'm not going with that against her, but, you know, it was just that authentic, you know, beautiful, really well-spoken, I loved it, and then Jemel Hill, like, she was not going to hold back no matter what. And I was watching her on His and Hers. Mm-hmm. And even before that, Numbers Never Lie, you know? Yeah. And so I just kind of really started to figure out Lisa Salters. Like, the way that she relates to players on the court and, like, just the way they respond to her, Doris Burke, you know, the way she's just, like, so official in, you know, her play-by-play. And there's not many people that can do that.
Yeah,
you know?
And all the players really love her and respect her.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Drake loves her, so.
Yeah, right.
You know? But yeah, so I just started to look at the people in the landscape, and then of course, you know, the Roz Golden Woodays come up and the Taylor Rooks. And so you see, you know, people that are closer to your age doing it. Yeah, I'm sure. We all do.
Yeah, I love her work.
No, she's great. She's great. I mean,
awesome.
SNY, like, the work she was doing on her podcast and, you know, like, she would go on those rants and you'd be like, wow, like, it's hard to do that. Like, people don't realize the level of difficulty it is to articulate yourself in a way. And so, yeah, I mean, I just respect all the women in the industry and had to figure out where I fit in.
Right.
So,
and with women coming up in the industry, and like you said, you started to see, you know, the new generation, which you're a part of. You're a part of that new generation.
Appreciate
and
that.
Still going, but how difficult is it being a woman in, for lack of words, let's say a man's world when it comes to, you know, professional sports?
Yeah, I mean, it hits me in the face every time I go into the locker room, right? Like, you look around and there's Tanya and maybe one other person and me. So, and so especially as a black woman, it's, you know, just an added level of, I wouldn't say difficulty. I think it's more so like, I welcome it because I'm like, you're the only one. Show out, you know?
Okay.
It's an advantage that you have because it's just a certain level of understanding that you have of these players that you're covering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're black, most of them, you know?
Yeah.
So you can just relate on that, you know, basic level. But obviously, you have to be excellent. Like, that's what I've learned quickly.
Right.
It's like, you cannot, there's no room for error because if you mess up, it messes up the opportunity for the next person, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And so, yeah, I've had my mistakes, of course, along the way. I thought there was mistakes that weren't mistakes sometimes. But, you know, I think it's really just a level of just understanding your purpose and living in that and being able to embrace the challenge.
Like, right.
it's a good thing that you're in a locker room,
right?
In the Lakers locker room.
Yeah, know? Out of literally, all, like, yeah,
you know this, what I mean? Like, this is room, yeah, yeah. Like,
this
it's,
isn't the
it's history.
You
so.
Know, this ain't the Pistons or
I mean,
you know.
Even if it was, I mean, the, that takes no less. You know, like
respect my Pistons.
Hey, like, they yeah, just throw the Pistons the piston. Under the bus.
I'm just saying, it's not L.A. That's the point. Like Stephen yes. A. say, you don't want to be in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, for the finals and stuff, you want to yeah. be in L.A. This is right. like it's. This is where it's at.
Hollywood. Yes.
And to be, you know, a woman and an African American woman, and you know, be in L.A. and not even
from L.A.
From L.A.
Yeah.
And it's not even.
Yeah.
This ain't the bad L.A. either. This is championship contending L.A.
Yeah.
We've been through the ringer. We've been
yeah.
through.
Yeah. This.
Yeah.
This
couple
is,
rough years.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Life is good.
Life is good. That's what's up. And yeah, we see. I want like the. It's that one video. I don't know if you posted it or somebody posted it where you're walking out of the. Out of where the court is,
yeah,
the tunnel, and then you know Quinn is back there.
Yeah.
That's how he showed much. That's how much respect and love. He's like, whoa, hold on, let me not mess up her thing. Let me get out the
Quinn
way.
Quinn is awesome, honestly. Like, this is a locker room that I really have like enjoyed because they all get along.
Yeah,
and so you can like feel the energy. You know, it's like, I mean, of course, winning helps.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it's been great to like get to know these guys, and you know, obviously. You realize, like, Anthony Davis is the same age as me. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to think about because he's, like, so tall and big and has been a superstar and in the league for so long. But, like, we're the same age.
The same
like,
you relate
know?
To the
so,
same things you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, like, we listen probably to the same kind of music.
Yeah.
Or, like, go out to the same kind of places. Like, you know what I mean? So, I think I just have to realize, like, they are your peers.
Yeah.
Right.
And treat them accordingly. Like, they're not any different. I mean, obviously, Bron is, like, very difficult to cover, and like he makes you step up to the plate and be excellent. You know, he's like, I will eat you alive if you don't come correct.
Yeah,
so I had to learn really early with that. But like, it's been such a joy because you know, the tunnel videos has kind of become my thing.
Yeah,
they closed the curtain on me a couple of times, but you know, I figured out ways to get that content. But like, you know, so like to see Quinn, like, you know. Like, step aside, and I'm like, okay,
respect,
appreciate it.
Right,
like,
right.
He's hilarious. He was, like, really trying to get out the way. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Quinn, that's my guy. He cool. We try to get you in here, Quinn, man. We talked about this, so I'm expecting.
Thank you. I think he'll show up.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get him eventually. We'll give him a hard time.
Tickling along the lines of women and sports.
Yes.
Recently, there was a major shift with WNBA.
Yes.
They
collective bargaining
got a new collective bargaining agreement. They got some new perks, some
pay
new
raise,
yes.
pay raise, things
among
like that.
All, yes.
What is your take on it? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so you know, I actually covered the Sparks for a little while as well,
right. You're welcome.
And I think it was NECA's first or second year with the team, and you know, I knew their conditions prior to.
Right.
Being in coach, you know, and not being able to travel like comfortably.
Yeah, break down some of the conditions for the people, because I don't think people really understand.
It's ridiculous. They have to share hotel rooms. Like, these are grown women in professional sports.
Professional sports,
you know, and they're being treated better overseas than they are, you know, here domestically.
Yeah.
And just, you know, if you go to a Sparks game, I don't know if you guys have had a chance, but they're so fun. Like, they're lit. Like, you know, I mean, and people don't realize, like, they're really, you know, they're just the same professional athletes.
Right.
You know, putting on a show, competing at a high level. It's a different style of basketball, but it's still entertaining, you know. So, yeah, when the WNBA announced their collective bargaining agreement, I was very close to it because Chanae, I produced podcast.
Yeah, Certified Buckets.
Certified Buckets. And so, you know, we were hearing that she was going to go on Good Morning America with NECA and, like, all these things. And it's just, it was time. It was past due. You know, these women shouldn't have to go overseas to make the amount of money that they would, you know, or a fraction of that overseas than they are domestically, you know.
Right.
especially with these new franchises, the Las Vegas Aces popping up and doing well. Like, I mean, it's just a level of respect that we have to give to women in sports. And, like, you know, these are mothers. These are, right. you know, wives.
Like, to not even have, like, maternity leave and things like that was, like, outrageous to me.
It was,
And the fact that, we talked about this, the fact that, like, you literally can just, like, okay, flip the switch. All right, we're going to pay you now. Like, where was that gap all this time? Like, it wasn't that it, you couldn't pay them. It's there. It's been there. Right. You just weren't like that's trouble.
And I think, you know, the marketing opportunities that they're now building in, you know, the like the opportunity, they're literally creating a system to help them win, you know, both on and off the court. And I think it's, it was, you know, past due. I know when I talked to Shanae, she put it really eloquently. She said, you know, people are saying that this is groundbreaking, but we didn't even have ground to stand on. And like, that gave me chills, because I'm like, wow, you know, that is true. Like, why is it that, you know, women in sports are oftentimes overlooked? You know, I mean, besides like the women's soccer team, national team, you know, but like, but there's very few, you know, women in sports leagues that, you know, treat them equitably.
Right.
And even though the product might be just as great.
Correct.
So, and you know, the NBA could find the money. You know, they are partners with the WNBA.
That was part of the conversation. So, let me start off by saying, I am 110%, let me look at the camera. I am 110% all for any raise that they got. I believe it's like, the minimum is like 130.
It's three times what they were making.
Three times. That is a lot, and that's awesome, and that's great, and that's definitely something to celebrate.
Yeah.
But like you say, no, it ain't like that. You're going to try to turn everybody. Women, I'm on y'all team.
Listen, when you start off like that and then say but.
No.
Go ahead. But what?
This is the thing.
Uh-huh.
And it ain't a bad thing. Like, get my words right. Oh, let me have a sip first.
Right.
But, like you said, they received help. Because that was what I said. I wasn't aware of, like, where did this money come from? Was it more of, like, the NBA, which would say, let's call them the men or whatever. Was it like, all right, we're going to, you know, this agreement we have with the WNBA because we're partners, we're going to give you guys, you know, some extra money to make sure that everybody has, you know, adequate. And
I don't want to misspeak because I'm not sure exactly, but I think that I know that some of it came from TV rights deal.
Right.
Some of it came from their deal with 2K.
So
I know that there were different like pools in which they were able to, you know, renegotiate, but I think the money was there. It was just not being allocated in the right hands.
Because I had a bad experience. The team is no longer there no more. The Sacramento Monarchs. You know, that's where I live in Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah, and I remember going to, it was either game 6 or 7. Of the WNBA finals. I can't remember which year it was, but they got the banner up there hanging in the arena. And I got free tickets.
Wow.
And I don't remember exactly how I got the tickets, but I feel like in a championship game, you shouldn't be getting free tickets. And in Sacramento, but that may be why they
in now. So let's be clear here.
Well, like, matter of fact, it was 2006. That's what it was. 2006. So that's a while.
Throwback.
Yeah, throwback. I'm old. I got used to the grays is hitting here. They here. But the Sparks game, like you said, they lit. So I've never been to a Sparks game. I've only been to a Monarchs game, which like I said, they don't have a team anymore.
Right.
And I think, regardless of the NBA helping or the, you know, the deals they have outside, I think one day the WNBA is going to be a, you know, a place where it's like must see basketball.
Absolutely.
Like,
right,
it's already getting there. And I think, you know, one of the things that has helped is the allegiance that, like, Hoopers like basketball.
Yeah.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So, you know, to see Dwayne Wade and like Chris Paul and Donovan Mitchell come to games, like to WNBA, you know, and it's not like they're like spotlighting it or they're doing it because they actually want to see.
They want to come.
Yeah. Them play. So, Shanae talked about one of the Antetokounmpo brothers coming to see them in New York. Like, so I think it's it's definitely going to evolve. Yeah. And it's going to continue to grow because the product is there.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a matter of time. But, you know, I urge everybody, like, I didn't know, you know, what to expect. And, you know, you see, like, what's her name? Vivica Fox.
Right. Yeah.
As a big, you know, proponent of the WNBA. There's people that you just randomly, but it's because they really love the game.
Yeah, right.
That's what's up. So, yeah.
Like, WNBA is the most fundamental form of basketball. Like,
in many ways, yes.
Yeah, like the NBA, of course.
The Spurs might be the most fundamental.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. Saying, like, the overall game, of course, in the NBA now is just so, it's stylistic. It's, you know, the outfits before the game, after the game. It's just all about the, you know, the look of things and how you can put your flair on something. Right. But the WNBA is like, it's back to the basics. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
And like
there's some finesse in that, too. Like, I've seen a couple moves. Like, you know, and also, I think that the stars that they're creating are young.
Yeah.
They're still in the, you know, they're in this new generation, like Liz Cambage and, you know, women like that, like Shanae, you know,
still coming into their prime,
as well as, you know, Breonna Stewart's, like, and then you have the, like, OG ballers, like, you know, Elena Deladon, and, like, you know, so there's a spectrum. Candace Parker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, I like nice Candace. To have, yeah, she's nice.
I've seen her in person once. I like Candace.
Got it. Heart. Heart emoji right there. Make sure you enter the heart emoji for Candace right there. So switching gears real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, along the same lines, we're talking about, you know, the fight, the battle that the women had. You know,
they
just,
won.
They won. Right. They won. I want to switch gears to the NBA real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the battle that we have going in the West right now for, I mean, potentially the eighth seed. Because to me, the first seven seeds are kind of locked up.
It's locked up. It's done.
In my eyes, it's locked up. The Thunder are in the seventh seed. And I think they're
That's so surprising to me. Like,
right.
I would have never.
When I seen Chris Paul get traded over there, I think I said it before. Like, I was like, damn, why they do my guy like that, man? Like, they're going to throw him over there and just that's how we going to finish his career over there.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to get shipped over. But yeah, they have the seventh pretty much locked up. Yeah, so we have the battle for the eighth between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trailblazers. My boy Dame, big game Dame.
Yes.
Dame time.
Logo.
Yeah, the one that's going off right now. Yeah, he's just going shooting absolutely berserk. Who do you think gets the eighth seed?
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, with and that why? Loss. Okay, yeah. So with that loss that Portland just had.
Yeah, that was crucial. That was real crucial.
That, I mean, every game counts at this point, you know. And so I think, you know, that could be the deciding factor between would, them that, making it to the playoffs. And, like,
and
I know Dame would be hot. He was hot that night.
He was pissed.
Post-game interview. I mean, he was – and rightfully so, like, it was blatant goaltending. Like,
right,
and the NBA
knows
that's why they decided not to find him. Chris Haynes reported.
Right.
Yeah, because that was the first time, like, somebody got to say whatever anything about the refs. Like, I loved it. I'm like, yeah, get him.
Well, I mean, they made a really critical mistake. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, that's really could be the deciding factor at the end of the season. So, you know, I think I want to go with Portland just because, like, how do you go from, you know, like the Western Conference Finals to not making the playoffs and pretty much, you know, I mean, their team has changed quite a bit, but the nucleus is still there.
And you compare them to Memphis, so you still think they're better than Memphis. No disrespect to them, but
But, like, I think just experience-wise, like, I just trust them more to make it, but I wouldn't be surprised if like they got the dogs in them, like, and it's a really, like, kind of interesting team dynamic because you have this young guy, like, leading the team, but, you know, I trust CJ and Dame as much as I think they should break up. let me be clear about
that.
Let me
pause it there. Then, why you think they need to break up?
Well, I mean, it's like putting the same song on repeat.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with her time. I was about to say
the tune's not gonna change. You gotta change something around it.
The dynamic of the league, those two together, they're great.
Yeah.
They're both great.
Yeah.
But together it doesn't work for what they have to try to accomplish.
Rob Pelinka, make it happen.
I felt the same. I felt the same with
he should.
Man, we talked about that. But I felt the same. I know what you're saying. Like, they're a good team. They're good together. I felt the same way about John Wall and Bradley Beal.
I still do.
Yeah.
I feel like we got what we gonna get.
Those two,
like,
they kind of have kind of chemistry issues. I think that, like, that's an added layer.
For a
while,
yeah. I think media kind of blew it up a little bigger than it was. Like,
there's smoke, there's fire.
Right. Yeah. I've never been a fan of, like, the two star guard thing. Like, if we have a star guard, I need to start forward or a star is big. Like,
I agree.
Like, I need some balance there. Guards. Don't get me nowhere.
Unless you're like Steph and Clay.
Yeah, that's what
I consider Clay a three, really, to me.
But is a two or three? What's the difference
between a positionless basketball? I think they're great individually. They're great together. But if you're not gonna get over the hump, what does it matter? Like, you just gonna keep knocking down the door and not win anything, right? Then, you know. But
I mean, LeBron getting older.
Sells tickets and jerseys.
I'm saying.
Getting older.
Yeah. It keeps people in the advisor role, and you know,
it keeps people in the seats in Portland. But
yeah,
I mean, if we're talking about some real contenders, I'm not seeing it happen at all.
If according to him, he's going to be there forever. So
It sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It sounds good on the outside.
KD.
Man, I'm gonna go there. Speaking of KD, we seen you. I don't know if you seen any of the All the Smoke. Podcast.
I said
that same here. I seen the clips.
I seen the clips.
Matter of fact, Clutch Clanks, we posted, you know, that's how I seen it. I ain't seen the clip though. But how do you feel about Kevin Durant giving all the information that he's given about his past teams?
Let me be careful here.
Yeah, this tough. It's tough. I'll give my take just so you're not alone take. Yeah,
because
go ahead, give yours first,
brother.
Let me go.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, let me get this camera right there. I'm talking to you. I feel like, whoo, yeah, this.
No, you ain't scared to give it to him now.
Nah, I feel like...
You want all the smoke, right?
All the smoke, bring it.
No, I want a minute till six. But, I feel like, man, it's like, you can't do that. I can't go from, you know, especially like let's go back to OKC. We up 3-1 on the Warriors. We up 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind could be made up that I'm leaving, that I'm going to a new city. I think I can know I'm going to go to state. I think that's cool. I think all that's cool. I didn't mind everything because KD was on my brother podcast.
Yeah.
And he talked a little bit about, you know, just issues. And I ain't had no problems with that because you have issues with teammates and stuff. We talked about Bradley Beal and John Wall.
Right.
But when you leave and then you turn around and you tell everybody why you left, you didn't have to. And I understand, like, some people feel like, and KD he's an honest guy or whatever. To an extent.
I mean, I would have to say to an extent because everything he said to this point was contradicted in that interview.
Well, I think a lot of people, especially us in media, when we see, like, a lot of interviews, we know they saying the politically correct.
Okay.
So this one in a podcast,
even now,
in a podcast setting, you always relax and you kind of get a little more. You get a little more, and that's what All the Smoke had them in the, you know, in the comfortable seat.
Feel like if you're honest, you're honest.
Yeah. Period.
Period. Regardless of the setting.
Yeah.
I feel like he didn't have to say it.
Okay, let's say for us as media members, like, mm-hmm. you know, I worked at Fox Sports and I worked at ESPN.
Right.
You know, and so that's like me going to ESPN and being like, you know, Fox didn't do
this
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They did that. And I didn't like this one person here. And now they're there. And, you know, it's like very petty. And
but
like,
when they interviewed her, she's like, oh, yeah. Fox Sports is so amazing.
Yeah, I'm like, both, no, you know, yeah, like, I mean, there's no reason to, like, what are you gaining from that, like, yeah, kind of thing. And then also it's like, you know, there's a certain reputation he already has,
yeah,
you know, like not telling Russ before he made the decision to leave and then announcing it just to the public.
But yeah, like, yeah, he is definitely
weird, like, I don't know,
different from any other superstar,
yeah,
that probably any major sport, yeah, that we know. Like, he's so, that's why I can,
emotional. It's very emotional.
I can accept it,
yeah,
because he tells us randomly, like in a podcast, he'll tell us, you know, all right, I'm gonna keep my burner account.
Yeah.
My thing, I was okay with that. My thing was just talking about, you know, the teammates and,
yeah,
you know, your mindset. That's, yeah, that's your mind. You personally, keep that in your
the
head.
The team was good enough to make it to the championship. And to me, that was the beginning of their championship window had he, yes, not left.
Yeah.
I think that's on him personally. But, I mean, yeah, staying on the championship vibe.
You mean that's on him how?
That's on him.
I
feel like if he would have never left, they would have been in the championship again. They had the squad.
But would they had won?
We don't know. I mean, we don't know.
I don't think they
would have. See, and that was his thing.
So I understand why he left. Like, I respect, like, leaving, but it's like, you leave and you go to the team that just beat you, like,
that, yeah,
it's just like, it's just certain things that, like, basketball wise, like, obviously, you know, with the passing of Kobe, like, it's more in my mind and more present than ever. Like that's like Rondo immediately going to the Lakers, like, after, you know, the Lakers,
right.
Yeah, you know what, yeah, I mean, like, it's just it just wouldn't happen in old school basketball. So for me, it's just like trying to adjust my mind to this new NBA. And like, I'm not saying he started the, you know, big three by any means, because, you know, LeBron started it. Like, but yeah, I just Boston, think it's like a way to do it. And I,
yeah,
yeah, you know, it's just a way to do it. That's it. That's all I got on that.
So his championship window closed. Whose championship window is open this year? Who's going to win it?
Well, you know, we got a team at Staples Center.
We got two teams.
Yeah, two teams. We got to be specific.
We have a team at Staples, and we have an organization.
I'm leading up to that now. That has a couple banners, you know, hanging.
That's quite one team. Yeah, a few. There's a few up there. I've seen.
Quite a few.
One or two.
You know, or three, four.
Keep going.
Maybe.
Like, kind of like LeBron's Miami speech. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. I don't remember how. I don't think he even got this high.
Yeah. So. I think we might see another follow-up speech with the Lakers at the end of the season. Benefit. You know, I think they still need to figure out one more piece.
One more.
Mm-hmm. At the point guard position, we need a ball handler, because LeBron can't. I mean, he can do it, but, like, why would we want him to?
Yeah, but, I mean, they got Caruso and Rondo, right? Like,
hey, you said, don't disrespect my boy AC now.
They got the GOAT, Caruso.
We got MVP Caruso. Rondo.
Headband Russo. Yeah. Man, well, you got to get that right.
Yeah, but we need a point guard. Yeah, we need a point guard. I agree. Playmaker, yeah. Like a shoot.
So if we get Collison, it's banner season.
I don't know what kind of shape he's in. Like, I don't, you know, it sounds good on paper. It could fit in, well, but like, yeah. We don't know what he's gonna look like. Like, he hasn't played basketball, so I mean,
the reports are in
the NBA sense.
He's in immaculate shape. He's ready to go like tomorrow.
Yeah, I've heard similar reports. I've heard that he's you know, leaning towards one team over the other.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's just a, you know, matter of like logistics.
Right.
Ordering our steps here, but you know, I think it'll be cool. Like, who do we cut? You know,
there's
chemistry issues that, I mean, it could be like one of the two-way guys, but we're not going to cut, you know, our THT. He was our draft pick. I don't think we're going to cut Antetokounmpo because he's Antetokounmpo.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to think of, you know, who is going to, you know, move.
How are we going to maneuver and make that? Who you have winning the championship, brother?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let's go back real. I'll answer that. I think the Lakers are the front runners. I think the Lakers are the front runners
right
now.
No Milwaukee?
Right.
No?
I think when they the front runners, I think the championship is coming out of the West regardless.
Clippers
or the Lakers. I think it's coming through L.A., but Milwaukee – if they do get out the East, Milwaukee is scary. I'm just like they not definitely the playoffs. Yeah, they have the talent. They have the talent, they have the size, they have everything you need to match up with the Lakers.
Yeah.
But they have to get there. Yeah. Giannis, and that's been the problem. Well, you know, Giannis, I feel like, is going through what LeBron went through early in his career.
Yeah.
Where it's, you got to go so hard. Like, he's going so hard all year.
Yeah.
You're going to burn out in them playoffs.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying he doesn't have a shot, a jumper. Like,
I know what it is.
I'm not worried about that.
The determining factor for them winning the championship.
I'm not worried about that. I don't think.
If he had any kind of jumper, a 3-point shot, they'd be winning the championship.
Because he's knocking it down.
But in playoff basketball, all they did was back off of him and clog the paint, so he couldn't drive.
He get tired about it. Like, that's why I think, like, as he's shooting it the best he's shot it in his career right now. And it's still not great. But
if you went from 20 to 30, then I mean, good job. But
with the energy that he has to put out, you know, every night, and that's just the style he plays, it's 100% full speed all game. I think that's the biggest thing with Giannis and turning his greatness into winning championships and games is everybody, like Jordan, he didn't win when he was going, you know, full speed every play. He was putting up 35 and winning MVPs and all that. But when he started winning was when he slowed it down and he developed his jump shot. He slowed it down, developed his mid-range. Giannis hasn't slowed down. Like, Giannis is still shout out to Brandon Armstrong. He did his little impersonation of him. He's, you know, it's still the same, you know, Euro step to the hole, dunk on you. It's a lot of effort.
That's dangerous too.
Depending
on the matchup that you have, like it could, you know.
And he's not he's not at the level at the point mentally where he's like, you know, I'm not, even though I know I could go kill him right now, I'm gonna let him do it. Like, you see how he went at Embiid the other day and he made Embiid look like
you
little
on the calendar to make a statement. You know what I mean? Like,
but him, it's every night.
Yeah,
it's every night. He's going hard.
That's true.
And he's going. He's gonna wear down. He has to slow down. I don't think it's the jump shot.
Like, you know. So I mean, I don't know.
He gonna do it. It's just, that's why I say I don't think it's Milwaukee time. Not because of jump shot.
Honestly, like, yes, I cover the Lakers, but I'm interested in the Clippers. Like, Marcus Morris was such a.
I was pissed at the Knicks because, and I told him that because, you know, they
Are
wanted.
You a Knicks fan?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
I told him that because it's not many of them.
I'm a Laker fan. Okay. Born, this has been my whole life. Okay. You know, cold blooded.
Yes.
But the Knicks wanted so much from the Lakers, Kuzma and Danny Green, all this stuff, and then
Avery
trading
Bradley
him to the Clippers
for nothing. I mean, not
solo
nothing,
cup,
but yeah.
And a pack of Newports. Like, what happened?
Disrespect the cup.
Newports.
And the Newports. Goodness
like,
gracious.
I like my little solo cup. No, seriously.
I don't know about
that
move.
They really, like, disrespected us low key. Like,
give
I'm
us
like,
everything, or we'll just send them over there.
Pick. I'm like, wait, what? Like, you want to pick too?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I'm not as big on the Morris twin as everybody else.
I'm not either.
The Clippers. Like, I don't, with the Clippers, I like them. You know, in New York, he's doing his thing.
Yeah,
but it is a lot easier to be good on a bad team. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
But when you're on a good team,
you don't have opportunities anymore.
The opportunities change. You got to, you know, this
fit in.
He got to fit in. That's all he's doing. And
you got two stars already. Then you have Montrez and Lou
on the bench. Yeah.
You know, and you don't really know how they're, because there's obviously been rumored chemistry issues with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah,
he
it'll
didn't
be interesting.
Be in LA. I don't Martin feel like he wanted to be in LA because as soon as the reports came out of him going,
well, from
potentially
New York,
getting traded to from the Knicks. Then he goes to the front office and tells them, like, no, I want to be here long term and all these things. So, you know, now you actually end up over there. How happy are you? Like, how?
It's LA. He's happy.
Yeah, like, he feel better.
He's
yeah,
I'm sure he's okay.
Does like, he
if
feel
it
his
was
weather?
Milwaukee or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so,
but, like,
so now we Milwaukee. Well, I feel like Detroit was worse than Milwaukee.
Where would you rather live?
I heard Milwaukee arena food is really good. That's what I heard.
Well,
I can't remember who told me, but somebody said
Staples Center needs some help.
Yeah, they said they had the best like nachos or something like that.
I have some history in it. I can make some things work.
They got this one soup I like, and that's about it.
Okay, Staples Center. We need to.
I ain't gonna talk about it. I was gonna tell y'all who had some bad food. One of these arenas, they better step it up. I would just say that, but I ain't gonna say which arena. But I had some.
Some. You gonna bring all the smoke?
My show not all the smoke.
Bring it to the front door. I want all the smoke.
But I'm just telling everybody in the league, y'all gotta step it up in these arenas.
Agreed.
And get this food. Y'all gonna charge me $25 for some chips and dip. I need it to be good. I said that. But okay. I ain't gonna say what team. But it was jambalaya or something. Y'all can guess it was probably like a Southern team. I say that.
Oh, New Orleans.
And I heard New Orleans, by the look of Zion, New Orleans food looked like it's slamming. My man playing now. So
hey, I'm so happy to see him on the court.
I thought we missed another game.
Didn't
but
still.
I mean, come on, man.
We just need little glimpses.
He can't get load management?
Yeah.
Got it.
Drew right, was like, you know what? He don't trade me anymore because I see our future with Brandon Ingram and Zion, and it don't look too bleak.
Better after all, I guess. Yeah, I'll take it, man. On a more somber mood, you mentioned Kobe a few times today.
Yeah.
How is that being in L.A.? Following the Lakers.
Born, right?
Born, right.
Process. I mean, now they've announced the memorial is February 24th, 2024-20.
Yeah.
Gigi, Kobe, and the 20 years in the league.
Yes.
How has that process been for you as a fan?
Yeah.
And just with the pulse of the city, you're here. The pulse of the city and how everything has been.
Yeah. It's been tough, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like you said at the beginning, like I'm a fan first.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, first.
And when I was in high school, some of my earliest memories of going to NBA games was with some of my best friends. And, you know, happenstance, one of my best friends was Magic Johnson's son, EJ.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I remember being at the 2010 finals, and, you know, it was just – like to watch him in person is like
epic. Yeah,
you know, I'm literally smiling ear to ear just thinking about it. Like I was going through some of my pictures and like blurry footage I had, you know. And I was just like, right. Dude, like there's nothing and no one that can impact like just the world.
Yeah,
like there's very few people that have,
yep,
a certain level of impact where the whole world feels,
mm-hmm,
you know, the same way. And, you know, whether you liked him or, yeah, hated him, you felt some kind of way towards him. You know, like there's definitely a reaction,
definitely,
there. And so that means that he was great because,
yeah,
you know, yep, most people, if you don't have a reaction to them, like you're not really thinking about them, you know?
Yeah.
So,
good way to put it.
I mean, it still is very difficult. I remember I woke up on Sunday and one of my friends texted me and he was like, hey, you hear about Kobe? And I was like, the fact that LeBron just passed him?
That
was the first thing.
You know?
Yeah.
And so then he sent me a screenshot, and then, you know, I just broke down. Like, I couldn't move. Like, yeah, it was really, like, just gut-wrenching. And then my mom was like, TMZ's reporting that Gigi was on the plane,
mm-hmm,
and there was no survivors, and again, I just felt like I was just, my heart was just ripped out. And like, so the first thing I thought to do, even like, not even thinking like as a reporter, like, yeah, the first thing I thought to do was go to Staples Center because I'm like, I know people are going to be there.
Okay.
I can grieve with like the people, you know, who I know ride for like LA and for, uh-huh, you know, Kobe. And just, so that's what I did. And I was trying to interview people while I was there and I just kept breaking down. Like, I was just, mm-hmm, it's been difficult. And the first game, I was so happy that they postponed that game
because, yeah,
I was like, you know, how am I going
to
do this?
I can't go to work.
You know, like, and so I went to the first game that they had after, and I got there like 4 hours early, and I just sat in the arena.
Yeah.
You know, empty with Usher like singing "Amazing." It was just too much. You know,
man.
It was a lot. It was overwhelming. But you know, I think to see the players so affected by it was really humanizing, and you like take pause to realize like these are people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I tried to talk to Tyson after the game that the Lakers just played against the Rockets, and he just like hugged me. He was like, "It's still too tough," and I was like, "Yeah, you know, I respect that." Like,
right?
You know, it's unbelievable, and I think you know many people have articulated that in so many ways, but to see his impact and how many people,
it's amazing.
Are like even it's more amazing. Motivated. Like I wake up with a bigger sense of purpose. Like you better get up.
Right,
you got that know? Mamba mentality.
Yeah, like it's something that I feel like everybody's really channeling, and I think that's even more speaks to just how big he was, and how much his legacy will continue forever. You know what I mean? And it's just, I mean, to see the tributes around the city, like it's awesome.
I feel like he transcended like words. Like I can't think of a word that was like fitting that that could group him in and make it make sense, because I'm looking at like across the globe all these tributes and stuff. I'm just like
Italy, Philippines, China, like you know, it's worldwide. Like they're just like we say, like there's just very few people having like maybe Michael Jackson, you know what I mean?
Right. Not even this big.
I remember where I was and what happened when Mike passed, but like time literally stopped.
It's generations. Like Kobe was our generation. Yes,
he
Kobe
is
was
our,
like
he's
from
our Jordan,
we yeah, we seen him from start to finish.
Yes.
You know, we didn't get to see Jordan start.
Right.
We didn't get to see Michael Jackson start.
Right.
And also like with social media, like social media allows the fan and us to feel like we know these guys. And you didn't have that with Michael Jordan. You didn't have that with Michael Jackson.
Well,
but
also, like, just different kind of person, too. Like, obviously, like, Kobe, the retired Kobe, was so warm.
Loved
and
him.
Sweet. And, loved you know, him. I mean, Mamba, you know, Black Mamba was one thing, you know, and that was, like, the dog on the court. Like, Kobe. You know, you're going to get this work. You know,
that was my enemy.
Charmin. You know, like, all of his teammates, Sasha Charmin. Like, that's, you know, the intensity, but, like, this, you know, even during his retirement,
his last few years, he started to
just soften up a little. I don't know about last few years. Maybe like the last year.
The farewell tour
was like the time when you saw him smiling,
smile,
a little more open.
Yeah,
and
then the dad, you know, part of him just emerged as like, you know, he took Gigi everywhere. Like they were really like best friends, and that, you know, was so cool to watch. I mean, the two games that he came to during the Lakers season, like, you should hear. Like, I wish, like, people could really feel that arena. Like, I posted a video, like, on my Instagram, and it, like, went crazy because it's just, you're just hearing people erupt in cheers. Like, it's just, it's different, you know? Like, I mean, people still are, like, thirsty to do it now. They're like, you know, Kobe! And they're like, he missed a free throw. Like, let's not, you know, let's be clear.
Right, right.
Kobe makes free throws, but you know, it's just,
My
God.
Yeah. But back to Kobe.
Yeah.
This is moment. But with, like you said, like Gigi had at a young age, like it was like Kobe when he wasn't coming back.
Right.
You know, to play the game of basketball. He was so happy to like I could go be a dad.
Yeah.
And I felt like
filmmaker, storyteller,
all
like,
that stuff.
All the other
I loved what he said about and I showed my I try to get my son into it because he sees me and he's like, "Oh, I want to do a podcast or whatever." Oh, so I started having him listen to Kobe's I'm drawing a brain fart right now, but he has the kids podcast that he did.
Yeah.
And it was dope. It was like
the kids are just kind of talking, just doing that.
Yeah, and it's like it's related to sports. Like I remember one episode was about a baseball game, and they were like short a player, and they had to find somebody out the crowd, just some random new kid on the block, and he never played and stuff. And it was just like kid experience, like if you the new kid to the neighborhood, and it was like every episode was like announced like a game though. It's like they were announcing it and stuff. And it was like super dope. And then I seen an interview where Kobe said, he's like, that's what I think he's talking about being a girl dad and stuff. And he was like, you know, we got all these cartoons and stuff where it's about queens and princesses and this prince gonna come do this. And he's like, I got girls. I don't want my daughters, like, thinking that you know, some dude is going to come. He's like, so I wanted to give them things they could relate to, whether you're a girl, boy, or whatever.
Well, just the fact that he was thinking about that
stuff. It's amazing.
Like, he was really championing, like, the next generation and, like, and putting his money where his mouth was. Like, you know, the Mamba Sports Academy, I you know, one of the first last experiences that I got to cover an event, he had, a like, basically women in sports. It was like a clinic. And then he had a panel with all these different women, like Cappy Pondexter, Danita Johnson, who is one of the, I think she's the president of the Sparks, and then Keisha Nix, who is the Lakers Youth Foundation director. And so, you know, he's on a panel, and then Michelle Beadle was the, you know, moderator.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so it was just amazing to see him interact with all these young women that he made sure everybody got his book. Like, it was just really dope to see like what he had created there, like the Sports Academy existed prior to, but since he had, you know, taken over, like, just the impact that he's had on so many kids, and like that they'll never forget, you know. I mean, it's tough, and and it's, but it's a beautiful thing that there's all these things that he's left in the world that
yeah
can still you know have tangible yes. So
will you be there on
We'll see. To be determined. Hopefully, if not, I'll be right outside. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm here.
And I was. I actually didn't haven't watched the tribute yet. The from that game, because I was just like, man, I'm, you know, and I've like, he knows I wasn't a Kobe fan most of his career.
Yeah.
You know, the basketball player, and I remember I used to tell my friends, one of my best friend Anthony Fain, I used to be like, man, you know, I'm worried about meeting Kobe, man. He's like, what you mean you worried about him? Like, why you want to meet him? And I was like, I'm if I meet him, I might like him. and like, his retired Kobe, like I said, he opened up and started letting you. And I'm like, dude, man, I was like, and I was telling him, I'm like, man, I like Kobe.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I didn't like him as a player and stuff or whatever. But
a lot of people say that. You know?
Yeah, I'm like, God, I'm like, I like this dude. How could I not like, then you, like, I always appreciate, you can't do nothing but appreciate greatness.
Yes.
You know, when it comes to Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, or any of the greats, you know, I argue it all the time with different people. But at the end of the day, it's like, dude, this is like, if you got an A plus and an A plus and an A plus, who's better? They're all A pluses.
Yeah.
You know, and it's,
the comparisons I've seen like dwindle down a little bit, you know, since it's
I'm over
as well.
It.
Like, why? Like, just, they're all great.
Yeah.
I'm appreciating
you
it
know?
Now.
And I think you brought up a good point too, is like, you heard, you know, more when he was playing, like, oh, he wasn't a good teammate, oh, he was hard to coach, all of his things.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're starting to hear, like, these,
the
you know,
stories
that are like, he was a great teammate. He mentored everybody around him. Like,
that's
you know,
what I love.
From Kuz, like, you know, so I think it's, you know, as devastating as it is, and it's never going to feel the same, you know, it's so amazing to see how much you can impact the world in 41 years and 13 years, and you know what I mean? Like, it's, and so I take solace in that. You know.
And to go out on a happy note of Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bean Bryant.
Yes.
What is your favorite Kobe Bryant moment?
Oh.
So many.
Man.
Take your time.
Yeah,
it could, you could go commercial, you could go game, you could go personal experience, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll do one on the court and then one off the court.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So the one off the court is definitely the most recent, when he and Gigi are courtside and he's like breaking things down to her. Because after the game, I just saw him introduce her to everybody, and I saw him taking pictures of her with Kevin Hart, and like, you know, just being a cool girl dad.
Yeah,
like that was just so warming to me. Like, I lost my dad when I was 5, and so, you know, to see the bond that they had was just so beautiful, and you know, it was really cool to like even though I didn't get a chance to cover him ever, to like have a form of that mm-hmm. and him coming to a couple of the games this year was like really heartwarming, and to see their bond was like priceless.
Yeah, sure.
On the court, definitely I was at game 7 in 2010.
Wow.
And
yeah, we need this
just like, You know, you like, you dream of those moments, right? Like,
yeah.
When the confetti starts to fall, and
oh man,
you know, and just
yeah.
to see like, you know, him, like it was just awesome. Yeah. So I mean, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, we're high fiving people next to you, like,
you
know what
better.
I mean? And just like, just to see, witness his greatness, like, for the times that I did in person, and it's just like bar none. Some of my best memories of sports, period. And this was when I was a fan, like, mm-hmm. not even getting into
this fan
reporting.
Mode. Like,
yeah.
I don't think there can be a better moment than witnessing win a championship.
Being there, you're the first person I heard that was actually there. I've never.
Christian.
Yeah.
For taking me, my friend took me, and I was like, dude, this. Yeah. Is amazing.
Nah, I could only imagine.
And she has great seats, so
that's awesome. Wow.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking like I've been to, like I said, I was at the Monarchs championship game, but
yes.
I had nosebleeds then, but it wasn't. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I can't imagine like
it's
when.
Lit. I was at the NFC Championship game for my 49ers.
First off,
can we just totally to the losing 49ers.
Oh, my goodness.
Though.
We're at the NFC Championship.
We're talking about championship vibes.
No,
right?
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that.
That's a title. It ain't a championship.
My experience is still one of the top in my life.
Okay.
It was really?
A great day.
We'll let you get on yourself.
Yeah, it was a great day. You know, we was in the press box. And
he said, all right, I'm going to head out.
Flying and the players are everywhere. Jerry Rice, the legends are in the building. It was just a great time, so I understand, you know, being around for the championship and that.
Can we? Are you done?
So
yeah, go ahead.
So when the Super Bowl happened,
oh,
did you still have that
unfortunately,
feeling?
Unfortunately, I was working. I was here, and then like I got to see the Super Bowl, but I think because I wasn't in Miami,
right?
That's really what turned things around. I think had I been there, we would be champs because, you know, me being present and accounted for just would have brought that vibe. I would have just went down to Shanny and told him straight up, like, bruh, pound the ball again. And we would have been champions. But it's cool. I wasn't in the building. So next year I'll be there.
Okay.
Well, us being, you know, having championship experience, and we know what it takes to win.
First of all, I'm a Laker fan. I have way more championship experience than you, but go ahead.
Actually,
I'm a Seahawks.
You probably don't, because I'm a USC Trojan fan.
Oh.
And if I had them things up, my experience. USC football,
Lakers.
And yes. then Duke basketball.
Oh, Jesus. You lost me.
And then when I got to experience my man, LeBron James, get the Cleveland championship. We ain't going to talk about the Miami, but the Cleveland one, it meant something to us. And I ain't from Cleveland. My guy, Nikki, the producer
Shout out, Nikki.
From Cleveland, born in the same hospital as LeBron and
same
Steph
room?
Curry. Same room, possibly.
Same room.
They actually, at that time, you know, they let you take home the little beanie hats or whatever. They weren't doing that.
Know.
They had the same beanie.
Oh.
They had the same beanie.
They recycled it and gave it to Nikki.
And he stole it.
Wow.
But we ain't going to tell nobody else.
Right.
That's a
That's
secret.
That's off the record.
Yeah. But I experienced the championship. You don't have to be there. I'm trying for next year when y'all trying to win. You don't have to be there to win a championship. Even though she was there, she felt the vibes and stuff. But I was actually driving when LeBron got the block on the radio and stuff. And it was like, it's on a fast break. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm about to crash the car because we're going to lose. It's going to lay up. And it was like, it's blocked by James. I'm like, woo. Like the feeling, I'm sure they like getting confetti rained on you. But I felt it. I was driving. I don't even
see it.
God took the wheel because I wasn't even driving.
On ESPN. Go ahead.
Jesus took the wheel.
Right.
Because I don't know how I made it to Sacramento, but I was driving. I was at the game.
How you wasn't watching the game for the final?
I had. Yeah. I think I had work or something. Excuse. You don't. I'm trying to see. You got to take notes. Can you pass him the note paper? Because we got to get
me being in the building for.
No, I'm telling you, you don't have to be there to win.
All right, I'm done.
That's all it is. But anyways, we know how recent championships feel.
That wasn't that recent. It was 2010. But
more recent than the Niners.
We are back at it.
Yeah, more recent. But yeah, we back at it. You know, Mr. James, he's here. And along with AD and a couple other guys, that's really, really good. So earlier, refreshing my memory, you said the Lakers are winning it this year.
That is what I had said.
Is that from the fam? I meant to ask that earlier. Is that from the fam point of view, or is that what you believe just when you look at everything?
Both. It's about both.
Okay.
I still think they need another point guard. But if they get a decent point guard who can take away some of those minutes for LeBron, then I think that they are going to win a championship.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all the secret weapon again, because like I said, it's vibes, it's feelings. LeBron has won a championship.
Let's be clear.
I think that happens when you have a point guard in the second unit.
Okay. I think he needs to let his hair go back to the regular color.
I like it blonde now. It's growing on me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, man.
But
he's had more hairstyles than he has points in time.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
But
LeBron is I haven't seen him in 2020, but each year LeBron has shook my hand. Wow. He's won a championship. So Bron, if you ready for this ring, man, we're gonna finish this year off, man. We gotta hook up. Let's hook up.
In the building. Shake his hand.
Yeah, shook my hand, man. That's how that one came along. Shook his hand earlier that year. Shoot around. Yeah, it could be shoot around. It don't matter, Bron. Just. It's this hand too, right? I watched it. Some people said I wasn't gonna watch. Yeah, pass that, pass that. You know, pass that. Get make sure I get to him. But Lauren, Miss Lojo, let's do this. Help me out again. We got Lojo Media.
Uninterruptiversary.
Yeah. We got the Sentinel.
Yes.
You name it, Sparks, ESPN,
and we ain't finished. We got Mo coming. If you want to shout out your handle so they know where to find you.
Yes, you can find me and get all these viral vids at Lojo Media.
Lojo Media.
Thank you guys for having me. Honestly, this is fun.
Thank you.
Hopefully, this ain't the last time.
No.
Hopefully, next time we actually celebrating a championship, we bring the champagne and stuff out. Yeah, yes. I'm
confetti. Nikki got to blow the confetti, but yeah.
Oh, that'd be yeah. Throw it like right at the end of the show. Just
don't blow it. Just
yeah, it. Yeah. Make it rain. Make it rain. But once again, y'all, thank you again. But once again, this is a Minute Till Six podcast here at Clutch Points. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, MH the Champ. You can find me,
Chris Perry. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Chris.PerrySR.
Like that.
And we out.